Chapter 6, Exceptionally Good Health. I used to look at women who were naturally slim and vibrant and think, you lucky bitch, because I always struggled with my weight. But it was more than that. I felt sluggish, unmotivated, and I was always tired. I just wanted to have the energy to do all the awesome things I wanted to do, but my body couldn't keep up with my brain. Good health is your birthright. It's about you living your best life, feeling healthy and confident, and knowing 100% that you deserve it. And as usual, the difference between being an effortlessly healthy person and someone who kind of angsts about it, it usually comes down to how you feel about yourself and what you think you deserve. And as always, you can learn to tip the odds in your favor. Here's how. Number one, you've got to own your past. It's time to understand what might be holding you back from that fantastic health you crave, whether it's for better sleep or to look smoking hot in a bikini. To be able to clear the slate and to be effortlessly healthy, you need to get clear on where you've come from. Identify why you failed or succeeded in the past and put that old tired story to rest. Many women who struggle to lose weight feel like major failures, but this is just not true. When you take the time to analyze your past, you can see the patterns that were holding you back, some of which might have been completely out of your control. Your first task is just to simply write down your body story. This is a really important exercise because you can get really deep and dirty and describe your struggles in vivid and compelling detail. And this is only for you, so you can get really clear on what's been holding you back until now. You just need to be completely honest with yourself. You don't have to share this with anyone. It might be crystal clear to you what your patterns are, or you might need to do some further probing. If you have a sympathetic friend, telling it to someone else, especially if you're comfortable with that, it can usually uncover themes that you weren't even aware of. I've got a great quote by Madonna here, and she says, I always thought I should be treated like a star. And that's really the theme of this whole chapter. Because you know what, gorgeous? Diets don't work. And I just don't believe that they work. Otherwise, you wouldn't hear so many horror stories of women who have struggled for years through those ridiculous things like the Atkins diet or just drinking cabbage soup all day long. And you know what? Being rich and famous, it doesn't mean that your diets work either. Even if you have a private chef and a personal trainer. I mean, look at the Biggest Loser contestants. They struggle to maintain even an average level of exercise and diet once they leave the show. One of the world's most famous failed dieters, Oprah Winfrey, she has shared so many stories about time in her life when her eating was just completely out of control. I remember one story, she said that she was so desperate for junk food that she threw some frozen buns in the oven. She turned the heat up high to cook them really quickly, but she was so impatient that she ate them burnt on the outside and frozen on the inside, and then she covered them all over with maple syrup. This is a woman who is a billionaire. She could hire someone to watch her 24/7, but she suffers from the same problem as other women. And it's that permission slip. You can give up the diet. My idea of a fun treat was to go to an all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut buffet. And you might think I'm exaggerating, gorgeous, but I could sit there for hours. Hours. I actually went there to celebrate my 26th birthday. I could have gone anywhere. My husband said, where do you want to go? And I said, all-you-can-eat Pizza Hut, which is really sad. But I absolutely loved pepperoni pizza. I couldn't get enough of it, and I would eat and eat and eat and literally never feel full. I could eat much more than my male friends, and I would come out with my stomach straining, but always feeling like I could fit in just one more piece. For my 28th birthday, I went somewhere a little bit more fancy. I had afternoon tea at the Ritz Hotel in London, and it's a beautiful and memorable experience I would recommend to anyone for a special occasion. So, but It's also a fancier version of an all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. Because even though it's not a buffet, the waiters, they come over and they top up your scones and your sandwiches for as long as 2 hours. Well, I just couldn't stop. There was four of us there, all of us big foodies, all of us have problems with food. And we were the last people left in the dining room. And we just kept on eating more and more and more. And I had to hobble to the toilet and I could barely peel off my Spanx. And I was sick later that night. And overeating until I was sick was actually a regular occurrence for me. And I had a serious McDonald's addiction. And I'd always buy a packet of crisps to eat on the way home. But why the gluttony? I thought I just liked food and that maybe I was greedy. But now I know that I ate to make myself feel numb and to deal with areas in my life where I felt uncomfortable, such as a job that I didn't like. My eating resembled a form of self-harm. And making myself fat, literally fat, also let me stay in those situations because then I didn't have the energy to change it. When I got clear on my past, I realized a couple of things. One, I was numbing myself with food when I was stressed or worried. Two, I was using food as punishment or reward instead of self-nourishment. Again, I was staying fat to justify bad situations in my life. I would beat myself up when I did something bad or ate something bad. And I just didn't feel like I deserved to be slim. So what's your health story? Grab your journal and write it down. And then make a commitment to yourself. So I can really clearly remember the day that I decided I was going to commit myself fully to changing my health. And here's what was going on for me at the time. Physically, I was at my heaviest weight and I just didn't feel comfortable in myself. I didn't want to spend money on fat clothes, so I wore dull colors and secondhand clothing. I was stingy beyond belief with myself to the point of embarrassment. Then my body started breaking down, so I had recurring problems with my knees and my back. So I was going to the physiotherapist all the time, which cost a fortune. Then I suffered from anxiety at work, which gave me itchy fits all over and constant sweatiness and bad BO. My skin was dull and my eyes were lifeless. And I had been hospitalized 2.5 years earlier with pneumonia, but I still felt like I was physically weak. I would get puffed out climbing stairs, and if I got a cold, I was worried that the pneumonia was going to come back. My body just felt heavy, and I knew that I wasn't healthy. Energetically, though, I wasn't that great either. I constantly felt stressed and tired. Mark would try and encourage me to exercise with him, but I couldn't muster the energy. I just wanted to lie around reading on the weekend and doing nothing else. Work was grinding me down and I felt like I was just getting really negative all the time, constantly bitching, complaining about work and my colleagues. And I couldn't go on like that. And even thinking about it now and explaining it to you just makes me feel really horrible. So I want you to ask yourself, are you really, really ready now for a change? Do you feel like you're just kind of boring yourself with that same story over and over again? Next, my advice is to keep it really simple. So what really helped for me was forgiving myself for the mistakes of the past and forgiving others so I could move on from pain and decide that I was worth it. But then I actually had to do some stuff in the real world too. So I started eating lots of green salads and green smoothies. Every morning for breakfast, I would have a green smoothie in the blender and I still do this. I had one this morning. It feels great. And then I started doing yoga, which gave me that peace of mind and the feeling that I was doing something that was stretching me physically and emotionally. And then when I heard about rebounding, jumping on a little mini trampoline, I just thought it was too good to be true. How can something that low impact give you good results? Well, it does. And I am really, really lazy. So I decided to buy one and see how I feel. And it's fun and a really great stress release. So the point is, gorgeous, you want to do what's easy and enjoyable for you. You don't have to do anything that makes you feel crap about your life. Then choose simple and nourishing food. It's really as simple as that. Tell yourself that there are no rules. You are the adult and you are in control of what you are eating, maybe even for the first time that you can remember. However, no rules, but there are principles and choices. principles can give you that new framework for those foods that will truly make your body sing. And then you have the right to choose those foods in whatever quantity you want. The principles are fresh, clean, unprocessed, and organic if possible. And I don't eat everything organic. I eat some things, but it's completely up to you. Every time you make that choice that nourishes your body, you are stepping closer to your dreams. It's as simple as that. And every time you make a choice that harms or otherwise compromises your health, it's just stepping you further away from your dream. That's it. It doesn't make your dream disappear. It just means that you make your next choice a better one. That way, you're moving in the right direction. You might think, and I kind of did, that if you finally relaxed and had no rules about your food, you might just go crazy and eat everything in sight. But trust me, it won't happen. Maybe for a day, but not over the long term. But it puts you in charge of your health. The more simple, fresh, and life-giving food you put into your body, the easier it becomes. When your body is nourished, it stops crying out for attention. And then it's really more than your dress size. Of course, health is more than just pure weight. After all, someone can look skinny, but be incredibly unhealthy on the inside. Think of all those skinny models that smoke and eat junk food. Eventually, hopefully, that's going to catch up with them one day, maybe in middle-aged weight or maybe even a serious disease like cancer. No, that's horrible. I'm not wishing models cancer, I promise. But you might have something like this in your past as well. In 2005, I had a serious bout of pneumonia, which led to me being in hospital for 2 weeks. When I was discharged, my clothes hung off me because I'd lost so much weight. And my first shopping trip out of the hospital, I was enamored with my skinny frame, which was ridiculous because I was recovering from a serious illness. I could barely walk up the stairs without wheezing. My skin was pale and sallow. It was horrible. And I just spent 2 weeks eating hospital food and junk food some of my friends smuggled into the hospital. I didn't feel good at all. And maybe you've been at that stage where you might have been bigger and felt happier, or you were skinnier and actually you didn't feel good. So it's about finding what feels good for you, and that could be lots of different weights. But what do you really want? Do you want to look and feel good? Most of us do. So it's about taking care of those little things. And this is part of my lucky bitch philosophy, is that constant incremental upgrade. Now, like most people, you probably have some niggling health problems that you've been ignoring. Some of them might be caused by your current diet, and others can be prevented with a little bit of self-care, exercise, or long overdue professional attention. What am I talking about? So, it could be that you have to go to the dentist for a checkup. And when I ask people that, you know, when's the last time you went? They're like, oh, it's been a while. When's the last time you had a cervical smear done on time? And you know what? I walk my talk on this. I went and had one recently because it had been too long. What about checking out that dodgy back pain that you're ignoring? What about buying some awesome running shoes? If there's something quote unquote wrong with your body, don't take it as a sign that you're not destined to lose weight or that there's something fundamentally wrong with you as a person. Don't wait until your knees are better or your back doesn't hurt as much to go changing your life. Use that as a reason to get better and healthier. Holistic health professionals know this. They know that the outside of your body can indicate the health of the inside, and they don't just treat those symptoms, but they look for those underlying causes. One of my favorite books, Gillian McKeith's book, You Are What You Eat, she lists all these symptoms that may be linked to dietary deficiencies. For example, spots around your jaw might indicate a problem in your kidney area, and excessive yawning and sighing, definitely what I used to do all the time, can mean that you are suffering from hypoglycemia, low blood sugar. Now, this is just all from her book, so I'm not an expert on this. But not surprisingly, Gillian recommends a diet that's mainly vegetable-based with small amounts of grains and lean meat. And Louise Hay's other popular book, Heal Your Life, she talks about a very similar thing, about possible emotional reasons behind health problems. She even gives you affirmations which can help to overcome blocks in healing your body. For example, under bowel problems, The probable cause could be something like fear of letting go of the old and no longer needed. And then she gives a healing affirmation, which is, I freely and easily release the old and joyously welcome the new, which is kind of cool. You might be thinking, what has this got anything to do with this whole lucky bitch philosophy? Well, really, you know, when you see those women and they seem to have it all, that's when the whole lucky bitch comes into place. And it's even got something to do with that tall poppy syndrome we have in Australia, that if things are going too good for you, people think you're a lucky bitch. And really, I'm telling you, we can have it all gorgeous. We can have everything we want. We can have the money and the hot body. We can have the relationship and the hot body. We can have it all. So what do you do if this is a problem for you? I would say, first of all, make an inventory of how things are working in your body right now. This is not to judge things emotionally, like, you know, well, that's too fat, that's too ugly. Try and just be objective, as if you were a doctor, just merely recording symptoms. Is there something that you know you could be taking care of right now, but you're resisting because maybe the time or money or other reasons involved in solving it? That's a question for you. So grab out your journal and just write down what is going on with you. You can scan your body from head to toe. And think about it. You would never neglect an innocent child the way you neglect yourself, would you? And by neglect, I mean all the things in your body that you ignore or put up with. My physiotherapist said that he sees people who tell him, you know, oh, I can't raise my arm above my head. And he asks, well, how long has that been going on for? And they go, oh, about 10 years. And it's like, God, when something feels wrong, just deal with it straight away. There's usually a practical reason, and it means you can solve it. It doesn't mean that you're not worth it if something like that is going on in your body. It's time that you aligned yourself with good health. As I started taking care of myself emotionally, and I started to eliminate some of those physical problems, it was a big realization to me that I didn't have to suffer. I didn't have to suffer anymore. And I've got a great quote here from Angela Lansbury. She says, to me, good health is more than just exercise and diet. It's a point of view and a mental attitude you can have about yourself. So true. It's got nothing to do with the willpower, gorgeous. What's going on in your head can completely sabotage your daily activities and make everything this constant mental tug of war that you have to fight with the sheer force of will. And even if you're doing everything quote unquote right, like eating well with nourishing food or exercising your body, you can be totally tripped up by your mind and your heart being out of alignment with your desires. You have to be willing to grow and change on an inner level for permanent change to happen. And that's diet, money, anything. But that's why people can drastically change their outside appearance temporarily on a crash diet, but return to normal really quickly because nothing has changed on the inside. Exactly the lottery conversation that we had in the previous chapter. And think of the language that we use around our weight. I am fat. We reduce our whole being to just a substance on our bodies. Fat in itself is not an enemy. It's an essential part of our brain, regulates our hormones, and it runs our whole body. But it's become such an emotive issue for women. It becomes who we are. And there's no magic. I wish there was magic, because this is something that I have struggled with in my life as well. But I asked my friend Amber, she lost a bunch of weight for her wedding. And again, I was thinking, oh, you lucky bitch, Amber. So I just asked her what she did. And it was pretty simple, actually. I was hoping for some extra secrets to tell, but she said, the biggest help for me, to tell you the truth, was to cut out bread for 5 days of the week. I'm still trying to do this now, but I'm much more relaxed about it. It just makes such a huge difference to me, and I feel more awake and less bloated, and I had more energy. I also started to do a bit more regular exercise. The best thing about it is that I never went to a gym. I just started going for a 10-minute walk every day. And then I thought, well, that's easy. I'll add another 10 minutes. I never did more than 30 minutes of walking or running, mostly walking, 5 days a week. I would start off by running to get my heart rate up, and then walk briskly to keep it at that rate for the full 20, 30 minutes. I'd also supplement it with yoga in the mornings 2 to 3 days a week, again, only around 25 minutes. So really not a huge amount of exercise, but enough that I was either losing or maintaining my weight. One other major factor was to cut down my meal sizes. I managed to shrink my appetite down in order not to eat so much in one sitting. Plus, just thinking about eating and deciding how hungry I was on a scale of 1 to 10 and eating accordingly to that. And that's a Paul McKenna technique. So it sounds simple, right? That's what I thought. I was like, oh, no luck is involved in that. But it's just regular, consistent work. No angst necessary. And another little aside on that, I've got a friend who's just so fit and she runs marathons now and it's just crazy. And her sister was like, oh, you're such a lucky bitch. And she went, no, I freaking work out every day. Like, it's not a secret. Sometimes I wish there was, but what is the simplest thing that you can do today, gorgeous? Just one little thing today, because your weight, it might be the missing piece in having an amazing life for you. I know it was for me. It was something that I was like, oh, I can do everything else, but not this. And everyone's got their own little blind spot. But what is the simplest thing that you can do today? One of them might be to release your fears. When I managed to lose weight, I really struggled with my fears around being thin. I was afraid I would become vain and shallow or get unwelcome attention from men. I could also blame my health challenges on my weight, so depression, anxiety, and low motivation. And some sick part of me did not want to give that up and lose that excuse. So it's not surprising that I would frequently put the lost weight back on. Holding on to the weight validated some of the excuses I used for not living my dream life. For example, I could justify being depressed because I was overweight. And I could justify being overweight because I was depressed. If Mark gently suggested going to the gym together, I would snap at him, you know, can't you see how depressed and sad I am? Are you saying I'm fat? Never winning battle though with your husband if he says something like that. But have you ever been doing really, really well on a new diet and you get great results and suddenly you start to sabotage yourself and then you feel massive resistance about continuing? Well, that is incredibly common because all of a sudden you're in this new territory and you don't quite know how to act. And if you don't have a script for your new life and you don't know how to act it, you are just going to revert to somebody else's script or your old script, or you fear that you will, so it just stops you from achieving your goals. So why don't you journal? What are you scared of? What are you scared of around being at your goal weight or even just being happy in your weight as you are right now? And I had a Clio shoot recently for a magazine. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to put an application in for that because I'm going to wait until I'm thinner. And there was just some part of me that was too scared to do that. Instead, I went, you know what? I'm going to be happy with who I am right now. And I'm going to let myself have my ideal life, even if I don't have the perfect body. So I want you to journal. What are you scared of? And let me explain here, because you might have a friend who is naturally skinny, but you think she's really vain or obsessed with your looks, or you worry that you'll be vain if you're skinny too. So it's safer to stay the way you are. So that's an example of a negative thing that you would be scared of around a positive thing happening, a negative consequence. But something like that, if you have that fear, it's her script, it's your friend's script, or it's your mom or your sister's or whatever. It's not yours. And you don't have to repeat it and act like them. But this is an incredibly common phenomenon, but we never ever recognize it. It's easier to think that you're just lazy or you don't have the willpower than it is to admit that you're scared of what life would be like when all of your dreams come true. The fear of the unknown seems to be much stronger than the potential reward. So after all, if you've never felt slim, vibrant, and healthy, how do you know how to act when you get there? You might struggle with the identity of the new you. Who is she? What does she like? How does she dress? How does she behave in public? How does she deal with that new attention from men? Some of it wanted, some of it unwanted. You might fear that you'll act differently, that your friends won't like the new you, that some people might be jealous, or that in some way it will put your relationship in jeopardy. Could be your current relationship, it could be friends, it could be family relationships. Sometimes our scripts are just dictated by other people's expectations of us. So maybe you've had a friend say a negative comment to you when you thought that you looked good, or you had a boyfriend act jealous around other men. Maybe you yourself have acted badly in the past and you decided it's just safer to stay overweight than to risk it happening again. You might even worry that you'll become a completely different person or that others will view you negatively. A common fear is that you'll have much more male attention that you can't handle and that you'll even cheat on your new partner. And don't worry, gorgeous, it's completely unlikely that you're going to become this turbo slut, but it's a very valid irrational fear. So when you think of all your health goals coming true, what fears come up for you if you're really, really honest? So you could answer this question: if I achieve this goal, I'm afraid that... what's the very worst thing that could happen to me? Now, these fears are definitely real for you, but if you focus on them, of course, that's what you're going to get. And you're just going to be stuck living someone else's script. The trick is just to make your ideal life so compelling that it's exciting to think about instead of the fears that you have. So tackle those fears first by just acknowledging them. And then be happy now. This is so important. You do not have to wait until some perfect day in the future to get yourself a manicure or to buy a fabulous pair of shoes. And some things don't even cost money, like spending an extra 15 minutes on your makeup or hair each morning. And if you can't be bothered doing it now, what makes you think you will later when you're this mythical perfect person? Step into her shoes, that future version of you, and make it real for you now. This is a journey and it is a lifelong process. There will never ever be a time, gorgeous, when everything is fixed and perfect because it just doesn't exist. Make your dream of exceptional health so compelling, so irresistible that you feel yourself living it more and more each day. The more you believe in that new exciting vision, the more reality, your current reality, it's just going to feel like a temporary state. And you will naturally start to act in the way that nourishes your ideal self. Success breeds success in every area. And small but regular incremental change will lead to permanent and long-lasting transformation. So give yourself an extreme self-care makeover. Self-care, it's not just about buying yourself flowers for the sake of it or going to the hairdresser, but it's treating yourself how you would treat others. This includes forgiving yourself for any mistakes in any area of your life. Imagine saying, "You're so stupid, you never get anything right," to a little kid, or even saying something like, "You are so fat," to your mother. It just doesn't happen. So this is a quote from Oprah Winfrey about this exact topic. She said, "Getting my lifelong weight struggle under control has come from treating myself as well as I treat others in every way." And she talks about that. That's really hard for her to do. So for me, I love spending time in solitude. I love sitting in a beautiful space, either at home or in a park, and just reading my books and enjoying the beauty around me. Being in nature makes me feel good and healthy. I don't know about you, gorgeous, but sometimes when we're busy, fun things go out the window because we don't think we have enough time. When money is tight, we feel guilty about spending money on fun experiences. The reason why it is so important when we laugh and have fun is that we feel lighter and happier. And this spills over how we treat our bodies. So let me ask you, what do you like to do for fun? When is the last time you did that? And what is holding you back? I officially give you permission to have fun if you need it. So be silly and go do something just for the sheer fun of it. You will definitely feel better about yourself and your luck will increase exponentially, I promise. And then don't let budget issues hold you back from self-care. It's just usually a reflection of how you treat yourself on the inside. I did a program once where I had to do a self-care activity every day for 30 days, and I was shocked about how I was treating myself. Some days I would write down, went for a walk, under the self-care column. And does that really sound like a luxurious treat? It really doesn't. Does it make you feel special and relaxed when you're at home or when you're surrounded by beautiful things? Does it support your vision for yourself, your home that you're in at the moment? Does your environment support you? Does your kitchen support your healthy lifestyle that you want to have? Do you ensure that you have healthy snacks around, or are your cupboards filled with junk food that will tempt you and just make you feel crappy later? Are there any appliances you no longer use, any out-of-date food in the cupboard, or unhealthy junk food hidden in the freezer? If there is, get rid of it. And then declutter. My favorite topic is declutter and let go. So do you watch the Extreme Makeover House Edition, you know, when they go in and they make over people's houses? Wouldn't it be awesome to have someone come into your house and just start over, just knock everything down and just build you a completely new house? Well, you can at least get rid of things that are not serving you in your highest vision for yourself. Some people are hoarders or pack rats, but you know what? It is extremely healthy to evaluate your possessions on a regular basis and throw out anything that you don't use or love anymore. And wouldn't it be great if you only kept things that you absolutely love? Who cares if you have hardly anything left? It will give you a great place to start, and it sends the message to the universe that you don't tolerate mediocrity in your life anymore. And that all relates to everything. Do this and your money will improve. Everything will improve because you're just sending that such a clear message to the universe. And then go through your wardrobe and reevaluate. Do your clothes fit with that new vision you have for yourself? Are you holding on to an outdated memory of yourself, you know, maybe from years before? Or does anything in your wardrobe not fit anymore after maybe you start to live a little bit more healthily? When I drop a dress size, I am just so determined never to be that size again that I just give away size, you know, that bigger size clothing. Even the ones that I loved, I just constantly make space for new places. So, you know, keeping a tiny cheerleader outfit from when you were 16 is fine if it's packed away in the attic as a keepsake, but not staring at you in the wardrobe anymore, because that's an old version of you, not the new version and the future version. So that's an action, is to go through your wardrobe today and be ruthless. And you might be surprised, I actually do this exercise on every single one of my boot camps, including my money boot camp. Because when you create space, you create a vacuum, the universe knows that you're serious about creating a new life. But you have to do it first. You have to keep the faith that that's going to happen. Really though, gorgeous, this whole chapter is about the fact that it's okay to change. Give yourself permission to grow and change. Old habits might start to feel a bit strange for you when you start to live the lucky bitch life. And this might be even the time where old friends who don't serve you anymore, they just don't feel that appealing to hang around with. Places that you used to go don't seem as fun anymore. Even food that used to tempt you just tastes bland and makes you feel sick. There is nothing wrong with growing and evolving past a time in your life. And usually when there's a big dramatic change, like leaving high school, lots of things and people change all at once. Suddenly you might be feeling really different, but your friends, work, and family are all the same. It doesn't matter though. You can be their role model, but you also have to have the strength to give up the habits that don't fit into your ideal life anymore. And, you know, being really honest about that, that's when the lucky bitch stuff starts to have those parallels with the tall poppy syndrome. Because you do start to change and not everyone is going to like it. Remember we talked about that in the first chapter, it's like some people are going to think you suck. The same thing, some people are going to get really jealous of you. So some people at this point start to realize that with this newfound confidence and energy, that they could do things they never thought possible. Could be quitting an unfulfilling job, taking up a new hobby, restarting an old one, or even embarking on a new creative project. Either way, gorgeous, you are on your way to just harnessing your full lucky bitch power and being the luckiest, healthiest version of yourself. At every stage, take it to the next level. You're not only worth it, it's your destiny and it's your time. So for some awesome bonuses around this stage of getting really fit and healthy and loving your life, make sure you come across to the bonus site, which is luckybitchbonus.com. Just believe, lucky bitch, that you're well on your way to a new, healthier version.